So very honored to be here. And again, I've received so much from the praise and worship just for your fellowship. So thank you for allowing us to come. If we can stand for the reading of the word, I'm just going to go through my verses here. I'm going to start in Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Then I'm going to do Exodus 2 and 6. And then we'll go to Genesis 16 and 11. And we'll see. Actually, if I could just pray. Lord God, we thank you for your presence, Lord God. You've been moving in this midst, Lord Jesus. And thank you for preparing our hearts, Lord God, for the word, Lord Jesus, that the word, Lord God, will bring fruit, Lord God, that some plant, some water, Lord God. But give the increase, Lord God, in the hearts and minds of your people. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to do Romans 8 and 15. It says, for ye have not received the spirit of adoption again unto fear, but ye have received the spirit. I'm sorry, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Everybody say cry. Amen. And when she had opened it, Exodus 2 and 6, and when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. Everybody say cry. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. And then we'll go to Genesis 16 and 11. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child and shall bear a son and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction or cry. You may be seated. So the title of my message is, there's no substitute for crying out. There's no substitute for crying out. The creator of Porsche is quoted as saying, I couldn't find the sports car of my dreams, so I created one. Birthing the first Porsche car some 70 years ago. If they have that image of the first image of the Porsche, yeah, thank you so much, guys. Let's give the sound team a round of applause. Sometimes we all only talk about them when something's going wrong, but when they're doing something right, let's give them some shouts out. So birthing the first Porsche car some 70 years ago. The Porsche car, with its sleek look and fast speeds, is seen as the creme de la creme of sports cars. The price of a Porsche ranges from tens of thousands of dollars to hundreds of thousands of dollars. The theme of the Porsche car is, there is no substitute. Porsches are saying there is no substitute for a Porsche car. That they're so wonderful, they're so great, they're so awesome. You'll never find a substitute for a Porsche. So in their minds, there is no substitute for owning a Porsche. While that may be true, there's definitely some things in the spirit world that there is no substitute for. And again, there's no substitute for the Holy Ghost. Amen? Accepting the Lord. Yeah, amen. Accepting the Lord as my personal Savior is a great start. But I don't know about you, but what I'm battling, the things I have to go through, I need some living water bubbling up in me. I need to be able to pray in the Spirit, and that's what the Holy Ghost gives. So I'm not knocking the Holy Ghost. There is no substitute for the Holy Ghost. Amen. And Jude said we build up our holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. So there's no substitute for praying in the Holy Ghost. There's also no substitute for preaching and teaching the apostolic one God message, right? That God was manifested in flesh, that God walked this earth, and he who knew no sin became sin so we could be the righteousness of God. There's no substitute for the fullness of God, of the Godhead being in Christ bodily. And again, the born-again experience of being born of water and the Spirit helps me live as a disciple. Look at your neighbor and say, you are a disciple. Being born again, being filled with the Holy Ghost, being baptized in Jesus' name is not just a get-out-of-hell-free card, but it's really for me to shine the light in my community, shine the light in my school, shine the light in my family, shine the light. It's just not something for me to be able to say, I'm going to walk on streets of gold. I need to be a disciple. But the Lord really impressed on me, on my heart, that there is no substitute for crying out. There is no substitute for crying out to God for help and healing. That there's only one that could help and heal me. And no matter how long I've been in God, no matter how much I know about God, there's no substitute for crying out. That just crying out and lifting my hands and lifting my voice. Can we just do that right now? Let's just lift our hands, lift our heart, just cry out to God. You can get personal with him right now. Whatever you need him to do, he showed so whatever burden you need him to lift, he's a burden bearer. That's it. Go ahead. No substitute for you crying out. For you talking to your God. Hallelujah. Back in Romans 8 and 15 it says, we cry, Abba Father. We cry, Abba Father. Now the Bible tells us there's life and death in the power of the tongue. And there are instances in the Bible where the Bible says, speak. Speak unto the mountain and it shall be moved. The prophet Joel tells us, let the weak say I'm. Let the weak say I'm strong. And don't add, let the poor say I'm rich, because that makes for a good song, but that's not in the Bible. Okay. Makes for a good song, but it's not in the Bible. It says, let the weak say I'm strong, right? And then I believe it's Psalm 91 says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and strength. So there's instances where I can just say, but when it talks about adoption, when it talks about my Abba Father, it doesn't say. It doesn't say speak. It says cry. Why do I need to cry? Because of the bondage. He said, you have not received again the spirit of bondage to what? To fear. Fear is a bondage. Whether it's the fear of failure, whether it's the fear of being hurt, whether it's the fear of being misunderstood. Fear is a bondage, and it wants to hold you down. It wants to stop your worship. It wants to kill your praise. It wants to do all of those things. So when you come from where I came from, and you have to fight against these things, speaking, at least for me, isn't enough. Talking to the spirit of fear is not enough. The fear of being hurt. The fear of being alone. Anybody ever had that when you were single and you just had the fear of being alone or the fear of being misunderstood? So to get that fear, to get that bondage off me, I need to cry out. Not cry about my situation. Because I'm good for whining, crying, and complaining. And I mean, I stand in front of kids, and sometimes, you know, the older they get, they kind of cry, whine, and complain. I may give them about 2 minutes. Two minutes. No offense if they're female, I may give them 3 or 4. No offense. Oh, I hope they invite me back. I'm sorry. You. Couple minutes to cry. But that cry must turn from tears to crying out. Because if I continue to whine and moan and just be at the pity party, my situation is not going to change. But if I cry out, look at your neighbor and say, there is no substitute for crying out. There is no substitute for crying out. So to feel this Abba Father, to get this Abba Father in me, because again, there's things that I battle just like you. I battle my past. I battle, I wasn't raised in this apostolic faith. I didn't grow up in this. I grew up around drugs and alcohol and my mom, my dad beating my mom almost senseless. I grew up going from home to home, place to place. And I'm sorry. I know we become new creatures in Christ. And I know old things pass away, but all things are become become. That means it's a process. That means you have to keep working out that salvation. So sometimes I just need to cry out, Lord God, I'm not feeling like a new creature in Christ. My past is trying to put me in bondage. The term cry in Romans 8 and 15 is defined as this sense. It means to utter something or cry out loudly, vehemently. That means I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm a new creature in Christ, vehemently. And then it says, especially in protest. What am I protesting? I'm protesting my old man. I'm protesting that what I felt in worship is not confined to this beautiful building. But when I get home and the enemy comes in like a flood, there's no substitute for crying out. When I get in front of that boss who's giving me all kind of problems for no reason, there's no substitute for at my lunch break and crying out and say, Lord Jesus, I don't know why this man or this woman is on my case, but Lord God, if you be for me, who can be against me? I don't have to wait till Tuesday or Sunday. I need help now. I need help at that very moment. And I need to cry out. So the cry of Abba, Father, and that word Abba has been translated to mean daddy, but it means a little more than that. It means a term of intimacy and obedience. So when I say Abba, Father, and that word Father is a pater. When I say Abba, Father, I'm saying, God, I need you to intimately be connected with me. And whatever you tell me, I'm going to obey. I'm going to try to obey. If that means I need to go to that boss who's giving me a hard time, and the Bible tells us that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, right? So I may have to go to that boss who's giving me a hard time, and I may have to put a smile on my face, a Holy Ghost smile. It's not a fake smile. It's a Holy Ghost smile, and say, boss, is there anything I can do to help make your job easier? Because there's no one in this world worth you losing your salvation for. There's no grudge. There's no situation. So I need to, at my lunch, at my school, I need to be able to cry out. I don't want to get so saved. I don't want to get so, and again, the Bible, we should be filled with the Spirit. But that goes beyond these four walls. That goes beyond traditional religion. And we know most of Jesus' miracles happen outside of the temple. Amen. So again, like I said, I wasn't born in this apostolic faith. I was raised by my grandmother. Again, my father and mother. My mother had her first child at 14. My brother had her second child at 16, which was me. So if you can imagine being in an abusive relationship, if you can imagine being 15, pregnant with a child, and I have to be honest with you, my mom had some thoughts. She had some thoughts about, do I want to go through and have this second child in this situation and circumstance that I'm in right now? And so that alone lets me know I'm a trophy of grace, that in my mother's womb, God knew me and ordained and had a call for me in my life. And even if that's not so much only being behind a pulpit, but again, God had a call. So I wasn't raised in this. And there's things that I, too, have to fight. So I was raised by my grandmother, me, my brother, and I call him my brother cousin. And, went through a lot of difficult, rough things. I know what it's like to be 5 or 6 years old and be home by yourself and have to take care of yourself and have to make decisions for yourself and have to make right choices. So this apostolic faith is definitely something new in my life. I know what it's like to be hungry. I know what it's like to have lights turned off and try to do things, you know, in the dark and go through different situations. So that's why I it's incumbent. It's very important for me to be able to cry out. So parents, it's so important that we teach and train our children to cry out to God. Not just cry about your situation and complain, but cry out to God. Look at your neighbor and say, there's no substitute for crying out. If I go back in Exodus chapter 2 and 6, we see where the baby Moses is in a basket. And he's going down this rough Nile River terrain. And we know the decree was all Hebrew males must be killed. And you gotta, like, Pharaoh's daughter knew this. She understood. She was very close to the Pharaoh. And she knew if these Hebrew children keep multiplying, that's not going to be good for me. That's going to cause me a problem. That's going to cause me an issue. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And from a cry came compassion. From a cry came compassion. And she knew this was one of the Hebrews' children. She knew technically this child could kind of move me and get me out of my comfortable place. But from the cry of the babe, her heart was changed. Her mind was changed. It's a great miracle that the baby went down the Nile and didn't get eaten by crocodiles or whatever other animals. But the greater miracle that God performed was changing a hardened heart from a cry. God changed a hardened heart from a cry. If you can go, so we must teach our children to cry out. If you can go to slide 2, they might be not happy with me. I thought they were going to be downstairs, but this is some of our VCA children crying out. You can go to the next slide. So we must teach our children to cry out. And again, not only at VCA or VCA Chapel, but to cry out. You can go to the next one. And if you can look at the picture. Actually, can you go back? You're doing a wonderful job. Go back one more. Okay, you see a little guy in the corner right there? You probably can't see him because I think that's Alyssa crying out to God. But I love it that these children are choosing to cry out, because you see the little guy in the corner, he's just like chilling. He like, I don't know what's going on, but he's just chilling. It's not this pressure thing. What I'm trying to say is these children are choosing. They're choosing. They're saying, you know what? I don't want the same situation. I'm going to cry out. I'm going to cry out. You can go to the next slide. And then you go to one more. Same thing. See the boys in the back? They're right there. But you see the one. And I know the situations and circumstances. As the family coordinator at the school, when I see that kind of thing, I say for a young man like that, that's the best thing you can do. Because what the enemy meant for evil, God's going to turn it to good from you crying out. We must teach our children to cry out. If you can go to the next one, I think the next one's a video. Man, this is going to be so mad at me. Hope she still might be my friend. Oh, I'm sorry. It should have been a video, but that's okay. But if it's not, no problem. But what you would have saw there was children crying out in the spirit, and then not only being selfish for themselves, but praying for each other, praying with each other, praying for each other's situations. And you know what? At Victory Christian Academy, we don't believe that that is just confined to a school. We don't believe that it's just confined to Victory Christian Academy. We want these children to go out into their homes And let a prayer meeting break out. Let a crying out session break out. Let some things break out in their homes that is not just confined to Victory Christian Academy. Amen. And so we read earlier about poor, innocent Hagar in Genesis 16. If you know the story, Hagar does nothing wrong. Hagar is a victim of Abraham being passive and Sarah being jealous. The one thing I love about the Bible is it doesn't hide the flaws of its characters. We get to see them on their mountaintops, and we get to see them in their valleys. So Hagar is a pawn from Abraham and Sarah's drama. Look at your neighbor and say, stay away from drama. If you can, in Jesus' name. And don't be the one to bring drama. All right, just say that. Look at the ceiling. Don't say that. Don't say that to nobody else. Don't be the one to bring drama. Take the drama to somebody else's church. White Brother Brown. Take the drama to somebody else's church. But just like Hagar, some of us have been left with the residue of other people's mess. Hagar wasn't flirting with Abraham. Sarah, you were the one who orchestrated this, and now you mad? Look at somebody say, you mad, bro? Look at somebody say, you mad, sis? That's some of the things they say. You know, that's some of the things they say. Other places. So Sarah's mad. Abraham's passive. And Hagar's been sent to the wilderness fighting for her sanity. And she has a child. And the angel of the Lord hears her crying out for help while she's in the wilderness. And parents, there is no substitute for you crying out for your children. Because when Hagar cried out, if you can go to Genesis 16 and 8, you're doing a phenomenal job. Thank you so much. And he said, Hagar, so again, Hagar's in the wilderness. Some of you may feel like you're in a wilderness right now, and you're again getting the residue of somebody else's mess. You're getting the residue of what somebody else did, and now you have to deal with it. And Hagar is sent to the wilderness, and an angel visits her in the wilderness. Sometimes we think we have to have it all right. We got to have our hair right. We got to have our right bow tie on and all these things. But she's in the wilderness because she had the right focus, Brother Brownie. And an angel comes and visits her and calls her by name. She's an Egyptian. She's Abraham called her. He called her Sarah's handmaid. Do what you want. The handmaid is in your hand. Abraham didn't even call her by her name, but the angel calls her by her name, and he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. Now, this is the hardest part. You mean I have to submit to somebody who doesn't have my best interests at heart? You mean I need to submit to somebody who doesn't like me? How else is Christ going to be formed in you? Jesus submitted to people that didn't like him. Jesus submitted to people who plucked his beard and spit on him. Jesus submitted. We know that he could have had a legion of angels come. We know when they said, who are you looking for? Jesus of Nazareth. All he says, I am he. And they fell back. But Jesus submitted. So I ask you the question, if you don't submit to someone, how are you going to become more like Christ? And you notice, if we read the verse line upon line, her help doesn't come until she's willing to submit. So there are some situations that God is asking you. Do you really want help? Do you really want healing? Well, it's going to cause you submitting. It's going to cause you submitting to some things. And he says, submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And again, whatever you think about the Arabian nation, we're just reading Bible, and the Bible says that they're going to be blessed. And it's just a joke. Don't get too mad. Maybe oil prices are the way they are. They're getting pretty blessed. Amen. I hope that wasn't. It's okay to have fun in church sometimes. Just tell a little joke, right, Sister Brown? Sister Brownie got good jokes. I sat next. I don't know. Some y'all might be surprised, but I sat next to Sister Brownie at a minister's conference, and she's got some funny under. Keep telling me the joke, Sister Brownie. Don't stop. Amen. And it says that. Be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child and shall bear a son and shall call his name Ishmael. Why? Because the Lord hath heard thy affliction or heard thy cry. God, can somebody just lift their hands? You might be in the wilderness right now, but God can still hear your cry. You may have made some mistakes, but God can still hear your cry. He wants you to rename that situation. Don't rename it. Rename it. It's not betrayal. It's God making you more like him. Rename that situation. It's not struggle. It's finding strength in my struggle. God has heard. God has heard. Hagar, a single mom, is in the wilderness crying out, and God hears her. If you're a single parent in here, I know, I don't know from experience because I'm very blessed to be in a two-parent home, but I can only imagine how hard it is to be a single parent. And to be a single parent trying to raise children the right way. Ms. Austin Burr, you are my idol. You are my idol. You remind me so much of my grandmother. Is Chris here? Chris kind of reminds me a little bit of me, Ms. Austin Burr. I had that short man complex too. So I was trying to fight everything that moved. Yeah, I was really, 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 I had a lot of anger because I'm like, man, I see my cousins, their mom and dad are there. Why can't my mom be there? Why can't my dad be there? And so at the age of 5 years old, I was diagnosed as being emotionally disturbed, which meant I couldn't handle my emotions. Like it didn't take much for me to be on somebody fighting. From the age of five all the way to eighth grade, I talked to a counselor, a school counselor, because I had that much anger, that much rage, and I couldn't express it. I mean, to be behind a pulpit, we know there. For me to be behind a pulpit, we know there's a God. Because I was very quiet, reserved. If you said anything crazy, though, I'll be on you. But Ms. Austin Burr, your labor is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain. Amen. So keep fighting the good fight of faith in Jesus' name. So again, once there was a shift, the angel spoke to her, but once Hagar received the security of knowing she was heard, she was given the spiritual fortitude. Everybody say fortitude. To submit to a difficult situation. And then we'll go on. You're doing a wonderful job. We'll go to verse 13 and 14. And I'm watching my time, Brother Brownie. I'm winding down. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her. Now watch this. Before the angel was speaking to her, now she's speaking to the angel. see the shift, see the turn when she was willing to submit, when she knew that God heard her. Some of you may not think God is hearing you, but he's hearing your cry. He's hearing you cry out, and you just have to have that faith, have that focus like Brother Brownie, because he hears your cry. So it goes from the angel talking to her. Now she's talking to the angel, and she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her. Thou God seest me, for she said, I have also looked here after him that seeth me. And wherefore the well was called, ooh, this is a tongue twister. If you're trying to get filled with the Holy Ghost, just say this really fast. You got that? That was late. That was a late one. Beer Laharo. Beer Laharoi. Try to say that. Beer Laharoi. Behold, it was between Kadesh and Barid. And that name, it went from God hearing her. That name means the God who sees me. So when you're willing to cry out, God not only hears you, but he sees you. He sees you. He sees your difficult situation. He's heard your affliction as a single parent or a single person. I mean, sometimes it's not easy being single. Or if you're a struggling husband or wife. If you rename that situation, God hears you and he sees you. So there's three little points that I'd like to touch on, because our children are crying out. And there's no substitute for you as a parent crying out. So what are some practical things when God hears my cry that can change my situation? Maybe not immediately, but definitely can change my situation. You can go to that next slide. Yeah, you can go again. I'm sorry, I passed that one. So what are some practical things that could help God build on your cry? Setting some social media boundaries with your children. Some social media boundaries. I know in our home, that's why you see the little no sign at our home. At the dinner table, we try not to use our phones. We try not to have our phones at the dinner table because, again, that's a time for us to bond. That's a time for us to connect. And so setting some social media boundaries with your children could definitely help God add on to you crying out. Because, again, the children are crying out for attention. And if we just put a phone in their hand, and I raise children, so I know sometimes the phone is a savior for a moment, but if that's all they're going to, if that's all they're filled with, then again, we're going to have some problems. So setting some social media boundaries. The Bible tells us a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. So if the children are always on the phone, always on social media, never having any interaction, that's going to negate the cry. That's going to negate the cry. So God wants to give us, he hears our cry, and he wants to give us tools to help us in a practical sense. So again, look at your neighbor, say, set social media boundaries. Next slide. And I don't know about you, but again, I don't have it all together. I need mentors in my life. I need people in my life that can help me, whether it be parenting, whether it being a good husband, whether it being a minister of the gospel. Brother Brownie just has spoken words of life into me. I was complaining to him last time, and out of me complaining, he said, I want you to come preach for me. I don't know if I should complain to Brother Brown. I was complaining big time at a function, and he listened so patiently, he listened so kindly, and he came up with that plan. So be careful how you complain to Brother Brownie, I guess. Amen. So find mentors. We know Paul You know, you have Paul, you have Barnabas, right? Paul and Barnabas were peers, and then Paul was reaching down to pick up Timothy. So make sure you have some people over you that you answer to. Make sure you have some people you're locking arms with as a prayer partner or somebody you can trust, and make sure you're reaching down to pick up somebody else that you're being mentored and you're mentoring. And you'll see that picture of focus on the family. Focus on the family has been my mentor for many, many, many years. There's podcasts you can listen to that'll give you practical tools on parenting. So focus on the family has been a mentor for me. It's helped me out where I'm listening to these things and applying it. You may see Adventures in Odyssey. I don't know if my kids want to laugh at that, but... you know what we did when we went on a long trip? We listened to Adventures in Odyssey. And there were, you know, it was an exciting way to teach principles about not lying, not stealing. Like, these were all things that were mentors to me, again, to help me in this journey called life. Like, nobody can do it on your own. Look at your neighbor and say, you're not an island to yourself. You need mentors. I need mentors. I need people to help me again because God has heard my cry. He sees me. Now I need to get in action. I need to get to work. And then my last point, if you can go to Deuteronomy 6 and 7. And it says, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Everybody say, that's my job. I can't outsource the teaching and ministering to my children just to Sunday school. Sunday school is going to help. But my job is to add on to what Sunday school did. So it's my job, it's my responsibility to teach them diligently. When thou sittest in thine house, so I don't have to be at church to teach my kids. I can teach them in my house when thy walk is by the way. So when we're walking, we don't have to have a 30-minute conversation about what not to do. I can just in a conversation, teach them the things of God when we're walking in the way and when thou liest down and when thou risest up. And so you can go to the next slide. You are doing phenomenal. Should be the last slide. Yep. So family devotion. Family devotions. And in my house, these were rough in the beginning because I was doing all of the, like, I thought that was my chance to practice preaching. And kids like, man, we just got out of church for like 4 hours and now we got to hear you for like 4 hours. And so I learned real quick that family devotion is not my time to practice my preaching. It's my time. So they were rough in the beginning, and, you know, I had kids falling asleep and all of that good stuff. And so I had to, you know, that got old real fast, and I had to learn that when everybody's included, everybody benefits. So from, like, 8, 9 years old, they were doing devotions, short, small little devotions. And it didn't have to be something long. And if they weren't doing devotion, guess what? You're picking the music so that we're going to pray to. You're going to pick the music. And it's kind of like a mini church service. I don't know if that was a good idea or not. So we had, like, announcements. Like, there's a soccer game on Tuesday at 4 p.m. Make sure you're there. Like, everybody had a role. Everybody had a part in the family devotion. So they just didn't have to, you know, listen to me try to practice being Pastor Rogers, right? Everybody had a role and a job. And I found when that happens, then everybody takes ownership and everybody learns. So whoever doing the most talking is doing the most learning. And so I don't want to be the one just talking. I want to hear what they have to say. And again, we've, as they've gotten older, we've come back and said, hey, Dad, this situation is going on with my friend. Can we pray for them? Can we pray for their situation? Nothing does my heart better that they can get outside of themselves. And not only that, hear a situation where You know, they may be upset at me when I tell them they can only be on their phone for a certain amount of time. But then when they look at a friend who's going through some hard situations, it helps them appreciate the things God has done in their life. So you see that family devotions, again, maybe you might be a single dad, but you can do it. God can help you. You may be a single mom, but you can do it. God can help you. So I believe family devotions are things that help add on to the cry. So if I have my 3 points to help add on to the cry, set social media boundaries for your children. Don't just give them the phone and let them go wild. Find mentors that could help you and be a mentor. I've learned as I am a mentor, it helps me out a lot. And then setting family devotions. As Pastor Brownie gets ready to come up, my last verse is in Psalm 40. Verse 1-3. And these last 2 years have been such a transition for me in my life. It's been a really big transition. 2 years ago, on today, I received a phone call right when I was leaving school, and it was just an ordinary day. Tragedy comes on just an ordinary day. And I got a phone call, and it was from my sister saying my father was in the hospital. And it was so weird. I got a phone call from my sister. And then on the other end, I got a phone call from a guy I had been working with, ministering to, and he wanted to commit suicide. So here I am. I'm hearing from my sister, dad's not doing good, and this guy who wants to commit suicide, and you know what? He was giving me an attitude. Like, he was giving me, like, this really bad attitude and just having a real bad time, and I'm talking to a man, and I'm trying to talk him off the bridge, and, you know, finally he was okay. And so I go to the hospital, and I see my dad laying there, and those ventilators are so tricky. They're so tricky. Because I saw his chest going up and down, and I was like, okay, it's not as bad. And I stayed there all night praying, all night crying out to God. And 2 years ago, today I received that call, and then my father passed away the very next day. And I remember being at his bedside, crying out to God, praying to God, hoping God will raise him up, because that's all I hear. God always raises people up. I never hear testimonies about people being prayed for and nobody being raised up. So I said, surely, God's going to raise him up. And he didn't. My father died from a heart attack. And I wish I could say he died from COVID. But it wasn't. His past caught up to him, and he died. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm praying. And just like this verse, my prayer changed from God healed him, and I still wanted him to I remember, and I'm not much of a singer, but I remember singing the song, Lord, I know your eyes are like flames of fire. I know your hair is white as wool. I know your voice, it sounds like waters. Jesus, you're beautiful. And that's all I could sing as my father laid there for all intents and purposes. Dead. And so there's places, as we'll read in this verse, and Brother Brownie close us out, where a crying out turns into praise. Not because I got my will, but because it was God's will. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and establish my goings. He put a new, there was a new song in my mouth. Yes, my father's dead. Yes, I wish he would have risen up. Yes, it's taken me a long time to just get over the fact that my father is no longer here. But I think of my father from this situation, I've known God as my Abba Father. Psalm 27 and 10 is not just a Bible verse, it's a life verse. When mother and father forsake me, the Lord shall take me up. So he put a new song in my mouth, even praise. Wow, I don't even know if I told you that. You rocking and rolling. Thank you so much. Even praise unto our God. So it went from crying out, God, heal my dad, to Jesus, you're beautiful. I truly believe that I hope, I truly believe there won't be a situation that could come where I won't be able to say, Jesus, you're beautiful. That there is no circumstance or situation where my cry can turn from crying out to praising God. And many shall see it. See what? See me go from crying out to praise. To see me going from wallowing in the mully grubs to praise. And they shall see it and fear or honor and shall trust in the Lord. And shall trust in the Lord. So if we can all stand, Brother Brownie is going to close us out. But God wants to turn somebody's cry into a praise, into a thank you, Lord, into you're worthy, Lord God, into there's no one higher, no one greater, no one like our God. Go ahead and lift your voice, lift your praise. Brother Brown, he's going to close us.
Amen, 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 amen. What a theme. You know, sometimes it's not all in the shouting, but it's in the still, small voice. I want to tell Brother and Sister Dyson something they may not have known, but I've admired you both from afar for a long time. I don't invite everybody to come and preach at Rehoboth. I want you to know that. Amen. Amen. Now, he said so many things. I'm just eating it up. I'm just eating it up. But you know what makes people respond? You ever heard a baby cry? you immediately, where's that son? You got to go fix it. You got to go do something. There's nothing more powerful than to hear a baby cry, especially if it's a young baby. You want to go and do something. We need to cry out. That's what the message was about. Whatever situation you're going in right now, God is ready, but he wants to hear something from the heart. I know he's preached the message, but I just want to leave this one verse with you. For 400 years, Israel was in Egypt, in slavery. And they were crying out. And finally, God comes into a burning bush on the side of a mountain. And Moses sees this thing and turns aside. And God speaks to him. And this is what God says. The Lord said, I have in fact seen the affliction. This is from the Amplified Version. Sometimes we don't think that God is seeing what we're going through. But in this Amplified Version, he's telling Moses, you all think I'm ignoring this, but I have in fact seen the suffering, the desolation, the issue, the problem, the heartache of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry. See, sometimes we think God doesn't see, as he said with Hagar. I don't want to preach behind him, but I remember Brother Art Wilson telling a story. He was in the United Nations. He was given the opportunity to preach to the United Nations. He was telling a story that one of these Arab ambassadors, actually, I don't know, he may even have been the ruler of one of these Arab countries, came to him privately and said, why should I become a Christian? You know, all the Jews and all of you Christians, you hate us Arabs. What is there in the Bible for me? What should make me be a Christian? And at first, he said, Brother Art Wilson said he really didn't know how to answer him. And then the Lord just inspired him with the same scripture that Brother Dyson quoted of Hagar, where the Lord said, you're going to have a son, and his name is going to be called Ishmael. You know what the L means? Any Hebrew name that ends in L, it means God. And that means God listens. He was able to tell this Arab sheikh or whatever, whoever he was, that your ancestor Ishmael, his name was named by God because it means God listens. And that came because his mother, Hagar, cried out. The Lord said in Exodus 3:7, in fact, I have in fact seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry. So tonight or this afternoon, I just want to say, whatever you're going through, God has seen it. And in time, he's going to hear your cry. You have to cry. The blind man heard Jesus was passing by and he started to shout, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. You know what they try to do? Shut him up. Be quiet, you're making too much noise, causing a disturbance. But he was determined. He wasn't going to let the miracle worker pass by him. This man who opened blinded eyes. You know what the Bible said he did? He cried out the more. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. You know what happened? Jesus stopped. I'm telling you, we're closing, but Jesus will stop. In Sunday school, we talked about the storm and the disciples in the boat. If you read it carefully, it says Jesus was about to go past them. He was about to go past them. He was going to leave them in the boat. Because, you know, he wants us to reach out to him. Sometimes we want Jesus just to fix everything. But we have to cry aloud. Hallelujah. These altars are open. We're closing this service. But this was a wonderful message. He has seen your affliction. He knows what you're going through. And he will hear you if you cry. He will hear you if you cry. You know, little kids don't have no problem crying. That's why I know I've become a little kid, because I have no problem crying, especially when it comes to God's word. When I think of the times he has saved my life, I'm going to cry out to him all the time. He is my Abba. He is my Father. We're going to close this service. We're going to pray for those at the altar. But I want you to know today, you need to cry out. Sometimes it may seem a long time, and that God has purposes and reasons in sometimes making us wait. But he will show up. Set a whole bush on fire just to get Moses' attention. And the whole reason for this was to tell Moses, it's time. I'm coming to deliver you. It's time. It's been 400 years you've been in slavery, and it's time. I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their pain and suffering. Bible says he was in all points tempted, such as we are, yet without sin. We're going to close this service. If you could stand on your feet as we pray. We ask God to hear our cry. Father, Abba, Lord, we are nothing. But Lord, I know that today you are looking down on this corner of 21st and Highland. Lord, you see every single person that's in here, Lord. You see their situation. You know their need. Lord, we cry out right now, Jesus. Lord, we cry out right now, Lord. We cry out right now, Lord. We ask right now, Father, that you will see our situation. Hallelujah, that you will meet the need, that you will fill the need right now, whether it be for healing, whether it be for a relationship, whether it be for deliverance, whether it be for finances, Lord. You have never failed. You can never fail. Hallelujah. You're not the God of failure. You're the God of victory. You're the God of deliverance. Hallelujah. Father, we ask right now, Jesus, that you help our faith to rise. Lord God, as we cry out right now to you, hallelujah, we cry out right now to you, Lord. Hallelujah, we ask you to see the pain. We ask you to help, oh God, and heal and deliver. Church, if you could pray as I pray for those at the altar.